I hope you got your Bible. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And I don't know what you came for, but I come for the Word of God. I love you, and I appreciate you, but people change, and He never changes. Amen. Amen. Jack Hiles always said, don't be true to institutions. Institutions change. Be true to biblical principles. The Bible never changes. Amen. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. And somebody told me one day, I've been accused of everything. I was accused one time of telling too many stories in my preaching. So he tells too many stories. And I said, well, Jesus did the same thing. Amen. And then I got accused of using too much scripture. You can't please anybody. I mean, amen. Genesis 32, verse 24. Genesis 32, verse 24. Now, we know this is Jacob, okay? Most of you, you've been around long enough. We know this is the story of Jacob. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when we saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched a hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, which means trickster, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and I never can pronounce that. You do it the best way you can. Peniel, that's it. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I know it's not a big crowd, but they have a big heart. They're seeking thee. And I pray tonight you'd help me as I try to preach. Anoint me, fill me with your power and your presence. Let everybody leave here tonight feeling blessed, Lord. Let us feel blessed. And then whatever's done, we'll say that you did it. You know we'll give you the glory. And is that not what it's all about? And thank you, Jesus. Amen. What does the Bible say about being blessed? That's what I want to ask you tonight. Now I want to show you some scriptures. I want the scripture to answer the question. I know a lot of times I've talked to people, you know, and tried to give them advice and stuff like that. And then they say, well, Preacher Ron said, well, I don't care if you remember what I say. I want you to remember what the Bible said that I told you the Bible said, okay? And so tonight I want to show you what the Bible said. Now, there's no way you can cover it all. We'd be here for a year trying to figure out what God said about being blessed. So I just picked a few things. First of all, turn to Revelation 19 and verse 9. Everybody wants to be blessed. Wouldn't you say so? Every once in a while, I see a car tag that says blessed. Now, I don't know if they know what that means or not, but that's what I want. I want to be blessed by God. And I want you to like me. I want my wife and kids to love me, but I want God to bless me. Amen. I need it. I desire. I seek after blessings from God. I look for them. Amen? Amen. Now, look at Revelation 19, verse 9. He says this. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. One day we're going to get to go to heaven, and we're finally going to see our Savior. We're finally going to be where we've been striving to go to all these years, looking forward to, traveling toward, and we'll be blessed. But you know how we got that? We were called. We were called. Now, listen to this. Not only were we called, but we answered the call. Now, a lot of people's call never answered. But you see, Brother Fortson, he never had to call you the first time. Thank God he called us. Amen? And I'm not talking about for a ministry. I'm talking about for salvation. Thank God. We wasn't looking for him. No, sir. Matter of fact, most of us, he had to interrupt our lives. He had to reach out and call us and almost verbally speak to us. Amen? Now, I've never, and I know people think that Baptists don't think this way, but and people say, well, I heard the Lord say this, I heard the Lord say that, and I do through the scriptures a lot. But on one occasion, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but on one occasion, I heard the Lord. I heard him. He spoke to me out loud. You ever had a dream, and in your dream, somebody call out your name and it wakes you up? Well, that's what God does when he calls. It'll wake you up. Amen. But we're blessed that he would even call us. Who are we that God would call us? Amen. I mean, even church people look at most of us and say, who is that crowd that think they belong to God? Amen. What are they doing in church? They don't even deserve to be there. So thank God. If you want to be blessed, answer the call when he calls. Amen. And he called us. And we didn't call him. And people say, well, I got saved by calling on the name of the Lord, as the scripture says. Yeah, but you wouldn't have called on his name if he hadn't called on you first. Amen. Just think of the people in the jungles of Africa and Argentina and Chile and places like that, running around, living in caves and huts, worshiping statues and monkeys and cows and all kind of stuff, you know, looking for God. Never heard the calling of God. Never heard it. And here we are blessed, and we ain't no better than they are. We just know how to put on clothes. That's the only difference we got between those people. And God called us. Amen? I mean, if you knew where some of us come from, and you'd think God called that. Amen? Number one, those who are called are blessed. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Did you know that those people who are blessed are not just those that's called, but specifically chosen? Amen. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, he knew you. Amen. He told Isaiah, I knew you before you was ever formed in your mother's womb. Yeah. Amen. He told Job, who are you to question me? I'm the creator. I was around before you ever were thought of. Listen, we are chosen by God. God blessed us to choose us. And then he chose us to bless us.
Yes.
Amen. He didn't choose. A lot of Christians, you think they got saved to go through a miserable life. They run around here with long pouting faces and bad attitudes and went whining and crying about every little thing. They couldn't have lived 100 years ago when real Christians lived.
Amen.
Amen. When it might cost you your life.
Yes.
When it might cost you your job. When it might cost you your family. Amen. But God looked down here, and for some reason, sisters and brothers, he chose us.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, I was that little old skinny boy that I was the last one to be chosen for your football team. When they was choosing up teams, I was the last one to be called for your baseball team, your basketball team. I was the first one to be called over for Red Rover, send Ronnie right over. Because they knew I couldn't break the line. Amen. Kids ain't got a clue what fun is anymore. You can't play that like this. Amen. And I'd run across there, get up all the speed in the world. Little old bony thing, and hit that line, they just throw me right back on the ground. Nobody ever chose me for a teammate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But thank God, one day, March the 5th, 1978, he looked down there and he said, I choose you. And the Bible says he chose those who are off scouring to the earth, others that nobody else would have anything to do with. That's the one he chose. Amen? Sometimes I look at people and I wonder. I say, my goodness, Lord, where'd you find that one? Amen. Bad enough me, but Lord, look at that. Where'd you find that one at? Amen. Must be the south side of Lancaster. Amen. 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 Sister Kathy said she had some kind of appointment down in Great Falls and her GPS took her through Lancaster. Well, I could have told her a lot better shortcut, but they ended up on Great Falls Highway, South 200. And she said, preacher, there's a dark cloud hangs over that place. See, it was just depressing just to be there. Amen. Amen. The south side of Lancaster. And he chose us and bought us and brought us out of the south side of Lancaster. Amen. Now they call it Little L.A. But look, I'm blessed because he chose me. And by the way, he chose me before he ever saw me. He chose me before I even knew me. He chose me before my mama knew me. Just think about that little illegitimate boy that was going to be born without a father and raised by a mother and then nine more around. And he looked down there and the one they called white trash, that's the one he picked. Amen. Hallelujah. That's enough to make me shout. Amen. So I'm blessed. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm blessed, man. Don't feel sorry for me. I am blessed. Amen. Amen. The greatest thing he ever showed me besides salvation was two highways going out of the town of Lancaster, Highway 9 and Highway 521. I had to come to Rock Hill to get saved. Amen. And you know what brought me to Rock Hill? A blind date. That's the truth. My wife was blind date. She was blind. I was the date. It was made at a New Year's Eve drunk party. And then I never met her. And they told me it was Frank McGuire's niece. And I thought it meant Frank McGuire, the basketball coach. And her Uncle Frank was far from a basketball coach. He wasn't that tall. But thank God he chose me. And I've been blessed ever since he chose me. Amen. You don't know where some of us come from. Hey, he had to reach way down to lift us out. Amen. But he chose. We couldn't get out. There wasn't nothing we could do to get out. There wasn't nothing we could do to change. Hey, if fate had anything to do with it, we'd be in hell right now. Amen. Amen. Woman told these people I worked with one time, she said, you need to hear Ron Roddy's life story. He pulled himself up by his own bootstraps. I said, whoa, that ain't true. If I'd have pulled myself up by my bootstraps, I'd fell over on my hiney. Thank God he lifted me. Amen. Amen. He lifted me. And then look at Matthew 16:16. I said, look, what the Bible says about being blessed. Jacob wanted it bad enough he wrestled for it. How bad you want to be blessed? Some people say they want to be blessed, but they don't do anything to get blessed. Amen. And they keep, look, they sit around in the same thing, the same place, the same people, everything, every day, and somehow they think it's going to turn out different. It's not going to change unless God gets in on it. But now listen to me. He's not going to bless you unless you want it.
That's right.
He's not going to force you to get saved. He's not going to force you to receive his blessings. Amen? Matthew 16. Look at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Those that are blessed, those to whom God has revealed himself are blessed. It shocks you how many people's in church, church members, been baptized, read the Bible every day, and they pray, and God has never revealed himself to them. They don't know God. They know about God. There's a lot of good Catholic people. But God's never revealed himself to them. They're not saved. They're not going to heaven. They hope so. They want to. They're good people. There's a lot of religious people. The Mormons are good religious people. They won't steal from you. They raise their families right. Their children are some of the best in the world. They tell me, you go out to Utah, you go to these fast food restaurants, it's nothing like being in the South at a fast food restaurant. The teenagers that work there say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. They do it quick. They do it clean. They say thank you and please. They're raised right. But God's never revealed himself to them. We are blessed that God would reveal himself to us. What do you mean, preacher? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, but unless God opens your eyes to understand it. He said in one place, he said, your eyes being darkened and not understanding. Do you know how many people are groping around in the spiritual darkness around here looking for God? Really, think about it. They're looking for God. And for some reason, God has not yet revealed himself. Now, Romans chapter 1 says that the creation declares God.
Yes.
You can look up to heaven, you can say, well, surely there's a God somewhere.
Yeah.
You can look at your body and say, well, surely there's a God somewhere that made this. But spiritually speaking, they've never met God. The first time you meet God will be Holy Ghost conviction. People don't like to be convicted. So they avoid going places where the Holy Spirit would reveal God to them. And when God reveals himself to them, the first thing is they feel condemned and lost and undone. People don't like that. They avoid that. So therefore, God has not revealed himself unto them. I remember the first time God revealed himself unto me. Scared me to death that God would speak to my heart and my mind. Amen. It wasn't just a man reading a book. It wasn't just a preacher giving a homily, as it's called. But God himself that day, deep in my heart and my soul, I felt the power and the presence
yes.
of a holy God.
Thank you, Lord.
And it scared me.
Yes.
Most of you grew up in church. You felt it at a young life. But you need to, hey, you need to realize how blessed you are. The children that didn't come to this church do not realize how blessed they are to be in a church where God reveals himself to people. And one day they're going to wake up. And they're going to think of all the years that they wasted that they could have seen God quicker. I've met people, and I go door to door sometimes, and I'll say, do you know for sure if you died you go to heaven? And they'll say, well, I got baptized. Or they'll say, well, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Or they'll say, well, I belong to the Baptist church or the Presbyterian or the Methodist or something, you know. But you know, Sister Mary, they've never felt the touch of God. Now, old Jacob had him up on that hill.
Yes.
He said, let me go. Jacob said, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Boy, if we get some Baptists that eager to get the touch of God, wouldn't that be something? And I'm talking about a powerful touch. It almost crippled him. Let me tell you something. When God touches you, it'll change you. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It'll change you physically. And it don't always feel good. But it always ends up a blessing. He looked at Simon. He said, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. God revealed it to you. The Holy Ghost revealed this to you. Now, we live in America. In America, think about this. Growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but we knew what Christmas basically was about. We knew what Easter basically was about. We knew what the Bible basically was about. We knew what going to church basically was about. Everybody in America does. But we'd never had God reveal Himself to us, because we avoided the places where He would reveal Himself.
Yes.
You know, before I was 20-something years old, I probably didn't go but two funerals. One of them was my best friend who died at 19 with cancer, and the other one was my sister who died at 22, Jerry's mama at, I think it was 22, heart disease. And other than that, we didn't go to funerals. Why? Because God was there. I don't think I ever went to a wedding before my own. Why? Because God was there. Amen. Come on, help me.
Yeah.
And so many people, they say they know God, but they avoid the things that where God could reveal Himself to them. But Jacob wanted it so much, he wrestled to get it.
Yeah.
And people come to act, "Well, preacher, I'm here at church. I've had a hard week, and, you know, my wife's been fussing at me, and my kids won't do what I say." Go ahead, preacher, preach. Preach, preacher, preach. Oh, shut up. You don't want God. You just want bellyache. That's all you want to do, you little old wimpy thing. Just get right with God. Get your Holy Ghost spine. Amen. Come in here and say, "Preacher, I ain't had nothing but hell all week. The devil's been on me. His crowd's been on me. They've been on me at work. My wife's fussed at me. My kids has cussed me. Bless me, preacher. I come down here looking for a blessing." Amen. 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 Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I said, I want a blessing. I don't know about you. But I said this. Those that are called are blessed. Those that are chosen that are blessed. Those that God reveals Himself to are blessed. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over there if you will. Hebrews chapter 12. You could read the whole chapter, at least half of it, for what the context of chastening of the Lord. But look at chapter 12, verse 6. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then if you be without it, then you're bastards." That's not a cuss word. That's a Bible word. It means fatherless son and not sons. "Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" You know what? There comes a time that a chastening is a blessing. Look at verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Wherefore? Why? Wherefore? That means wherefore. Go back and look. Wherefore? Wherefore? "Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't never seen anybody wasn't getting a blessing that lifted up their hands. Amen. I never seen anybody jump up and throw their hands up and say, "Ooh, I feel awful." Amen. When they get blessed, they jump up and say, "Glory to God, hallelujah." Amen. Amen. Chastening is not always a bad thing. Chastening of the Lord is a good thing. Blessed are people that God loves them enough to chasten them. A father, he said it, a father that does not love his children will not take the time nor the trouble to chasten his children. Amen? A mother who does not love her children will not take the time or the trouble to chasten her children. But if they don't, the Bible says, if you whip them, spank them, don't spare the rod, you'll spare their soul from hell if you'll do it. If you don't, they're going to go the wrong way every time. I'm not talking about beating youngins. I'm talking about keeping them straight, chasing them. And every once in a while, the Lord looks at me and said, "Youngin, go get a switch." That's what my mom used to say. "Ronnie, go out there and get me a switch." Yes. And I'd go out there and get one of them little old skinny... We had a weeping willow tree, you know, I'd get one of them things, you know. She said, "That ain't no switch. Go back and get me a switch or I'm going to go get it." I didn't want her to get it because one time she used broom handles. I didn't want her to get no switch. But I'd go get her a switch. And while she was whipping me, I'd be dancing around. Going around and said, y'all remember that? It wasn't joyous at all, but I'm glad it worked. Amen. Now I'm blessed. I was better for it. Better for it. Now I saw a man who had some friends, and I saw a man who was a drunk hit his son in the face with his fist. That man didn't love that boy. He hated him. I could tell by the way he talked to him, he hated him. And he was a church member. You know what? Somebody took a switch to that man. But thank God that he loves me enough to whip me. That blesses my heart. He didn't save me and just say, "Well, go on, make it if you can." He saved me and said, "Now I'm going to keep you straight if it kills you. If I have to beat you to death, I'm going to get you to heaven." You ever looked at you one of your young? If I have to beat you to death, you're going to turn out right. Amen. I'm blessed. I'd rather him whip me than cast me aside. A lot of people that have the least little trouble with their kids, they say, "Preacher, where can I get a children's home to put my boy in?" And I want to think, there ought to be a father's home for you. Amen. Where can I get a children's home to throw my girl in? And I want to say, won't you build you a woodshed and get you some switches? That'd be better than somebody else having to straighten out your young. Amen. They don't love them like they ought to. Amen. Hey, he won't cast us off. And then Luke chapter 6. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
You ain't mad at me, are you? Look at Luke chapter 6, if you will. Now, I'm talking about those who are blessed. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Jacob had to wrestle with the Lord to get his blessing, and it hurt to get it. And then the Lord called us, so we're blessed. He chose us, so we're blessed. And he revealed himself, so we're blessed. And he chastens us, so we're blessed. Now, here's what people don't like to hear besides that chastening. Luke 6, look at verse 22 in Luke chapter 6. "Blessed are ye." Now that'd be pretty good if we stopped right there, wouldn't it?
Yes.
"Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Wait a minute, I thought Christians got along with everybody. "Blessed are ye when men hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company." You get thoroughly right with God, you won't have to leave them, they'll leave you. Yeah, they will, they'll leave you. You'll lose every friend you got. Amen. I'm glad my wife stuck with me. The only ones I had left after I got saved were my wife, my youngins, and that one friend that hung around. Amen. And but look, he says that, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you." That means they'll talk bad about you and to you. "And cast out your name as evil." They'll call you a hypocrite. For what? For the Son of Man's sake. Now, not for your sake. Now, if they cast you out because of your sake and they quit communicating because of your sake, there's something wrong with you. But if they do it because of Him, that's okay. You're blessed. Now, I know some Christians can't nobody get along with. Yeah. They're even-tempered. They stay mad all the time. Yeah, they're mad all the time. They're just looking for something to fuss about. I know some preachers like that. If they didn't have something to fuss about, they wouldn't have nothing to preach. I know some preachers like that. Amen. Y'all met them. If they didn't have something to preach against, they preach against everything. You can't chew bubble gum with them. They got to preach against something. They're mad all the time. But let me tell you something. people that are saved by the grace of God and they live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed when we're hated by this sinful, wicked, lost, and dying world. And Jesus said, they hated me, and they're going to hate you, and they persecuted me, and they're going to persecute you, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to kill you. That's what he said. Now, you go back through church history. I mean real church history, not that Babylonian thing they called the Catholic Church. The real church history. You go back through church history, and all of our forefathers in the faith suffered and died for their faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the stand they made for that.
Yes.
And this old world, once you make a stand, it's going to be on. But you know what you can say the whole time? Hallelujah, I'm blessed. They did this to Jesus. I'm not worthy to be called by his name. And they're doing the same thing to me they did to him. Hallelujah. I remember one Thursday night, I was out knocking doors over there off 901, a kind of a fancy neighborhood. And I walked up this one door. It was just getting dark. And the door, one of those glass doors. And I knocked on the door, and this woman come walking over there. I'm trying to be nice, okay? And the other was on the couch. I did not. All I said was, hey, I'm Pastor Ron Roddy. I'm from such and such church. I just want to invite you to church and give you. Slam! And I walked off. I felt kind of bad at first, and I thought about it. I said, glory to God! I haven't been cussed out or run off in a long time. I'm glad I'm still right with God. I knocked on this door one day, and I told this lady who I was and where I was from, and she said, well, I go to such and such a Baptist church, and my pastor is Dr. So-and-so, you know. And I said, well, that's wonderful. She said, yeah, I haven't missed Sunday school in so long and all this stuff. You know, I said, well, that's wonderful. But did you know there's something more important than going to church? She said, what's that? I said, no, I'm for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven right now. She looked at me and said, what? I said, no, and for sure, if you died, you go to heaven right now. She said, you don't sound like no Baptist to me. Slam! I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Hey, that don't discourage me. That blesses my heart that the devil don't and his crowd don't like what I got to say. Amen. And then Psalm 84:4. We're on our way home, and you'll be blessed as you eat that peanut butter and banana sandwich and drink cold milk. Psalm 84:4. Don't laugh. They're going to have it in heaven. Somebody said, I hope. Amen. Psalm 84:4. I hope. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Did you know those who attend church are blessed?
Amen.
Now, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven.
Right.
But you're going to miss a whole lot of blessings on the way to heaven if you don't go to church.
Yes.
And by the way, who are you going to call when you get ready to die? The church. Who's going to handle your funeral? The church. Who's going to comfort your loved ones? The church. It's funny how people don't need the church, but till they get to the very end.
Amen.
But those of us who learn the secret, there's blessings at church. Amen, amen, amen. Brother Thomas has named Brother Ed Pilgrim. That's what he called him. When he's talking about you, he said, you know, Pilgrim. I said, why are you calling him Pilgrim? He said, you know, he sings that song, I was a poor wandering stranger, wayfaring stranger and all that. He said, I like that, so I call him Pilgrim. Amen? Well, Pilgrim, I'm glad you're passing through. You've been a blessing. Amen? If I didn't come to church, I'd never met you.
That's right.
Amen. I'd never met that boy that slept in the tent because he was too low down and sorry and wouldn't get right with God. He lived in a tent out in the woods somewhere so he could drink beer until he got to it. He woke up one day and said, "There's better than this down at the Father's house." And he got right with God. Never would have met you. Never would have met you. I'd never met a Yankee that worked for GM of all places, who's going on strike, by the way. I never would have met a Yankee from Detroit that had fingers like a gorilla and played the piano like a 10-year-old girl. I'd never met a Yankee that I can't pronounce his name. One week it's Infantino, another week it's Fantino, another week it's Infantile or whatever it is. But they say the boy can cook, but I think he's really Al Capone's son by the way he talks. What are you laughing at, Billy Nazarene in a Baptist church? Amen. We miss it. We miss it. Look, when you don't go to church, you miss it. Amen. Mike, Ohio hillbilly. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. Mary, who keeps up 2/3 of the nation, cooks for them, feeds them, bathes them, makes their beds, and they all sit around with their feet propped up, and she's a better saint than I would ever be. I never would have met you if I hadn't went to church. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I get to go to church. Church is not a chore to me. Brother Rudy, it ain't a chore. I love seeing you. He don't say much, but if you ever crank him up, he's going. Amen. Hey, I never would have known that. Shaving an ex-Mormon. Amen. I ain't figured the Crouches out. They live in Richburg. I think they're running from the law, but I've been blessed. Nobody knows where they live. I've been blessed. Amen. Why wouldn't you want to go to church? The preacher calls the wrong address on the Bible verse and everybody knows it's wrong, goes to the right book of the Bible. Got a choir director, can't carry a tune in the bucket, but he can tell people how to sing. Amen. I'm picking at you all, Lord. Have you noticed we got electric drums out there that came with the building? They're in the storage building, so Holroyd makes his own drums while he's singing. Y'all ever notice that? Did y'all hear that? He's got that bass going. Amen. Who would ever... And you, the devil can't find where he lives. When he first come, I went to find these people. It took me half a day to find these people. On a dead end, one lane road. And it's paved. I don't know how it ever got paved, but one lane road that's paved all the way back. There's a Yankee right there laughing at me. Brett. The boy married a hillbilly. And they have to come to church in South Carolina because they don't fit in nowhere else. I like that. And then the game warden back there hiding. Not the game warden, the warden of the Van Wack jail hiding back behind the hood. Amen. Tracy don't talk out loud, but you put him in the choir, he sings out loud. Amen. I could do all of you. I just about have. don't want to hurt your feelings or anything, but we got to quit sooner or later. But what a blessing. Now, Jacob had to wrestle to get his. All I got to do is get out of bed, get in the car, and come to church. Yes. And you don't have to beg or bribe or pump or plead me. I want to go to church. You say, well, you're the pastor. I did it before I was pastor. You can ask my wife. I'd leave work and go to church. Amen. Thank God for those who attend church because God honors them. Yes. He blesses them. And I'm blessed because of it. There's my daughter sitting there. I got 3 daughters. And she's sitting there and she's been in church all her life. She don't know nothing else. Praise you, Lord. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. She wasn't there when that crowd was there that I grew up with. She was a little while, but she was too young to remember it, thank God. Well, ain't that something? Get your kids in church, raise them in church. Did you know it's easier not to know the world than it is to separate yourself from the world? And then they never become a part of that. And listen, the Lord reveals himself in church. The right kind of church. Sister Mary, you've ever been sitting in church and cold chills run up down your spine? And you go, I'm about to run. Amen. And we reserve Baptists, we hold it back. I ain't even talking about the Methodists. You ever been in church and the hair stand up on the back of your neck?
Amen.
And you look around, you wonder why this ain't happening to everybody else, right? You ever laughed so hard you cried at church?
Yes.
You ever cried so hard you laughed?
Right. Yeah.
I love it. I'm blessed. I pray every day, God, thank you for letting me be born in a land as beautiful as I live in. Thank you for letting me be born in a land where I can get up and go to any church I want to. Thank you, I live in a land where I could hear the gospel and be saved. And where I can live my Christian convictions. And I can go to church. We're blessed. You feel blessed now? You felt blessed before you got in here. I just reminded you. I can't sing that song, you know, but they got that song about ain't God good? Something about, come on, help me, bro. Ain't God good? Something every blessing. Come on, help me. Y'all don't know that song? Well, ain't God good? All right, let's stand. Let's stand.